Wednesday to where I am this morning. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. That's really none of y'all's business, you know. So I can tell you this though, that God definitely showed me some things today, and I'm confident, in fact, that He's going to show you guys some things today too. So, you know, last week I talked a little bit about Psalms 23. I talked a little bit about the passage in that psalm that said that God would restore your soul. And I thought about that some this morning, and I thought, I wonder if that took root this week. I wonder if anybody this week had the opportunity to request or to ask, or in some cases, let's just be honest, to beg that God would restore your soul. I wonder if we had a chance to do that this week. So I guess the question I just need to ask you guys is, how are things going? How's your week been? Good? Awesome? Some positive responses? But I wonder this. I wonder if we were to sit down in smaller groups, perhaps maybe just me and you, one-on-one, and we talked really what was on our hearts, what was really, how our week really was, not necessarily in the big group setting, because we all want to say we're good Christians, right? Everything's beautiful all the time, you know, but that's not always the truth, is it? Sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life is hard. And I know that for many of you this morning, you know what? The truth is, things aren't going that well. I know for many of you this morning, you're facing a lot of very tough and difficult times and decisions. I think if we were all honest with each other, we would agree as a collective group that, you know what? Life is hard. Life is very tough at times. Life can be very difficult. You know, it can be tough with your finances, can it? I mean, what if the job that you have right now just isn't going very well? I'll take it a step further. What if you don't have a job right now? A lot of people in America are in that boat right now. You know, what if the retirement that looked so promising 5 years ago, what if it's just not making it work right now? It's just not paying the bills like you thought it would. That's a big deal, isn't it? What if you've got, you know, a 2 weeks supply of income, but you got 4 weeks supply of bills? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You get to those 20-somethings in the month? Man, where'd the money go? It's tough, isn't it? Life can be tough with the finances. Life can be tough on your relationships. You know, perhaps you've been so busy recently, and we all get that way. Perhaps you've been so busy that you haven't had the time, or you haven't really made the choice to spend the time with those that you cherish most. And that relationship is starting to flounder a little bit. Life can be tough on relationships. What about physically? Anybody else think life can be tough physically? I mean, these bodies just don't work the way they're supposed to, do they? Not all the time. I was just talking to my brother back there. We do have some new ones on order, but they're not here yet. Okay? But they're coming. They are coming. All right? Maybe this week or in the last couple of weeks, you've experienced an unexpected sickness or an illness, or someone that you love has experienced a sickness or an illness. I mean, guys, life just stops then, doesn't it? I mean, everything gets turned over upside down, sideways. Life gets crazy, and it's very, very difficult to get through those times. Life is, in fact, tough. Now, several weeks ago, we were talking a little bit about this, and we talked about some of the valleys that we go through. And then we talked the next week about some of the mountaintops that we reach. But you know what? The one thing I didn't talk to you guys too much about is this, that regardless of whether or not you're going up the mountain, down the mountain, or just through the valley, you know what? You're going to get pretty tired. You know, that's a hard journey to make. All right? And I'm not talking about only physically tired. You're going to become emotionally drained. You're going to be emotionally tired. Guys, in those kind of battles that you face daily, you will even become spiritually tired, spiritually exhausted. So can we agree here as a collective group? Can we just make this one point clear, all right, that life is tough and that sometimes it will wear you out? Can we all agree with that? Yes? Okay. Being as you all agree with me, all right, or most of you, all right, the brave ones agreed with me, I have great news for you this morning. All right. I had the news that there's a truth that I'm going to share with you this morning, that because we all agree that life is tough, there's a truth this morning that's going to be able to apply to every single one of our lives. All right. And it starts with this. You're not alone. Okay. As you look out, even in this congregation here, within this small group of believers here, you know what? I can almost assure you that there's one or two people sitting either right next to you or very near you who are experiencing, or they have experienced the same trials and tribulations, the same tough times that you're going through right now. I will bet you money on it. Okay, I've talked to enough of you to know that I haven't heard any story only once. You know, everything. What was it Solomon said that, you know, nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new going on. There's the same thing that man has been struggling with for the last 6,000 years. Trust me, you're not alone. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful because sometimes when we're tired, we reach out to those right around us. But what we may not realize is that, guess what? They're tired too, you know? So it may not necessarily be the best advice you could receive. All right, if I'm completely spiritually exhausted and you're coming to me asking me about spiritual matters, you know, my advice to you may not be the best advice that you could receive. So we're kind of posed with a dilemma then. What do we do? We recognize that life is tough. Okay, we recognize that we need some answers. But sometimes even the people around us, the people that we love the most, they can't give us the right answer. So what do we do? Well, we have an answer book right here, don't we? We have a book chock full of answers right here. But you might say, now, Tim, wait a minute. The people in the Bible, they don't count. I mean, those are the super Christians there. They're not like me. You know, they had all the faith in the world and none of the problems. They were super Christians. Okay, nothing like me today. Well, maybe. All right, but think about, let's consider Moses. Moses, all right, the God's friend. All right, the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt. The man who parted the Red Seas. Incredible, Moses. But did you know that in addition to that, Moses was a murderer? Did you know that? What a piece of a weight on his conscience he must have carried. Did you know that he had such a confidence problem and in truth a faith problem that God actually had to send his brother to talk on his behalf? I mean, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. You have all the confirmation you would ever need, right? And Moses still didn't think he could do it. God had to send Aaron to speak for Moses on his behalf. What about King David? A man after God's own heart. I've told you guys a couple months ago about David and Goliath. Wow! David is an awesome guy. Super Christian. Right? But you know, David also slept with another man's wife. And then he killed that man to cover up for it. Not to mention it, David was not very good at controlling his own kids. He had an incredible hard time controlling his own family. David struggled. Life was hard for David. Life was hard for Moses. And I'm not sitting up here beating up on these characters or these people from the Bible. Just like today, I'm not beating up on you because you struggle. Okay, but what I am saying is this, is that the Bible is full of very real people. It's full of the accounts of very real people struggling with real issues. People that we can relate to. People that we can read these accounts and know that what they did, guys, you can make that same choice. You can walk that same path. When life is difficult, you can walk the path that Moses walked because he's not super Christian. He's a man, just like you. You can walk the path of King David because he's a man, just like you. You can do it. And the Bible is full of examples on how to do that. And this morning, I want to show you one of those. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're just going to start in verse 1. All right, one of those men in the Bible, all right, who had his share of problems was Elijah. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Elijah, in a lot of times, was a basket case. All right? He's the kind of guy as a pastor, I'd be kind of nervous if he showed up to council. You know, because this guy had some major issues from time to time. All right? So let's get into the Word here, and let's see what God has to say. Actually, let's pray real fast, and then we're going to open up the Word. Lord, I thank you this morning for your presence. Lord, as Aaron has already spoke, you show yourself to us in all this wonderful creation around us. But this morning, Lord, we are specifically looking for your presence in our hearts. God, we're specifically looking for your hand to shape and to change us. God, we pray that your word will speak boldly to us. We pray that you give us spiritual ears that we can hear the truth that you want to share with us. Lord, we pray that you give us spiritual eyes so that we can see the truth that you want to show us. Lord, we thank you ahead of time because you are a true and faithful God, and you have promised us that your word will not return void. So, Lord, as we open it up with expectant hearts that we will be a changed people today. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Let me just, okay, I kind of got too far ahead, didn't I? Elijah has just had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And if you know the story, boy, Elijah really stuck it to him, didn't he? I mean, just all the prophets were slaughtered and God was shown to be the one and only true God. Awesome spiritual high. Elijah's the man. Woohoo! Right? So here we go. Verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. What's going on? I mean, just yesterday he's on Mount Carmel and he's experiencing incredible spiritual victory, and today he's running for his life and praying that he could just die. Let's continue. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Okay. You want the very first big mega spiritual advice on how to handle this tough life that we're in? This is awesome stuff. You ready for it? You need to rest. You need to rest. And you might be saying, oh, Tim, you're talking about spiritual rest, right? You're talking about resting in the arms of God spiritually. I'm talking about that too. But let me tell you more simply, you need to rest. Your body was made with a need to rest. All right, Elijah, as I told you, has just experienced incredible physical and spiritual victories over the last couple of days. And guess what? He's tired. All right? He's physically and mentally worn out, and he needs to rest. And if you consider what's happening here, consider this account, okay, just for a moment. This angel shows up, right? And essentially, what's he doing? He's bringing Elijah like some milk and cookies, you know? I mean, he's kind of like dropping off some milk and cookies and then tucking him in and saying, hey, go on back to sleep, you know? I mean, that was God's answer for Elijah right then. The very first thing God addresses is that he's tired. He needs rest. God knows you, God knows me, better than we possibly even know ourselves. All right? And he knows that when we become physically and mentally exhausted, and we've all reached that point before, but when you get to that place, guess what? You become easy prey for the enemy. Easy prey for the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I actually heard someone talking about roaring lions the other day, and I got to share this with you because it just really cracked me up. You know which lions actually do most of the roaring? Okay, I didn't hear that. It's the older males. It's the older males who, for the most part, have lost their teeth. Okay, get this, all right? What they do effectively is they're scaring the prey. They scare the prey into the hands of the other lions. They get them kind of bewildered. You know, and get them kind of freaking out a little bit, all right? And they just take off running, and they end up in the hands of the other lions who can actually do something with them. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking to myself, so Satan's wandering around this earth as a roaring lion. Guys, let me tell you something. All of his teeth were knocked out at Calvary, all right? Every single one of them was knocked out at Calvary. He doesn't have any real power over you. He doesn't have any real threat for you, okay? All he can do is send you running. Send you running into some place you don't need to be. And that's exactly what he wants to do. So he's going to walk around roaring and hoping you're going to just get all scared and take off running. But you know, you don't have to. All right, but when you're physically tired, when you're mentally tired, you know what? That's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to take off running. So the angel then returns a second time in our story, all right? And he gives Elijah some more food to eat and drink and then sends him on his way. Our story then resumes at chapter 19, verse 9. You want to pick up with me. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied. I have been very zealous. This is Elijah speaking. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They broke down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. Lord, I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. I know I added some dramatic emphasis to that, okay? But, you know, I believe that's exactly what Elijah was saying, all right? And what we see here as the story continues is that we see Elijah suffering from a very common problem that many of us have from time to time. You know what that is? Self-pity. He's having a little pity party for himself. Lord, I'm all by myself. You know, everybody else, now they're coming to kill me too. I mean, he's forgotten the God that he serves, hasn't he? He's tired. He's wore out. All right. And God's helped address the physical need a little bit, but there's still a spiritual component involved here. And because his spirit is not connected with God, the result is we see self-pity. All right. See, self-pity is the negative result of when you lose that connection with God. When you're connected to God, when you know who you are in God the Father, guess what? Your needs are met. Okay. You're worthy. You're forgiven. You're accepted. Okay. You're good. But when you get disconnected from God, all of a sudden you see doubt. All of a sudden you experience condemnation. And self-pity takes root in your life. Those are the results of being disconnected from a holy God. Beginning in verse 11, God is about to cure Elijah's self-pity. He's going to refresh him emotionally and restore his soul with the greatest treatment in the entire universe. Okay, God's going to give him the fix-it-all pill for the universe. And it's not the big purple pill, okay? God's about to give him the most awesome medication anybody could ever have, and guess what he's going to give him? He's going to give him himself. God's going to give Elijah a dose of God himself. But before we go on to that, we need to look at this moment here, and we need to talk a little bit about the application point that's going on here, because I don't want you just to leave with a nice little Bible story in your minds. Okay, I want you to leave with something you can take and use in your own lives. All right, the fact is this, that every one of us, no matter if you're Christian or not, no matter what country you were born in or what your background is, every single one of us in this world today is desperately in need of something. All right, we don't all know what it is. All right, but every one of us was created by our Father God with a hole right in the middle of us, and we are desperately seeking to fill that hole. All right. And again, I don't care who you are. You can say you're atheist. You can say, oh, I'm looking for science to fill it. But you know what? When you're honest with yourself, science ain't going to fill it. Okay. I mean, you might be looking, thinking, I'm hoping that earthly pleasures will fill it. Well, I mean, if you've been around for even a couple days, you know that ain't going to work. All right. Today, the big thing is self-realization. Right. If I could just be a better person, a better me, perhaps that will fill it. No, it ain't going to work. All right. You have a hole in the middle of your being, a hole that is so perfectly shaped that only one thing will ever fill it. Only one thing. It's the same hole Elijah had, you know, 2,500 years ago. All right? That hole can only be filled by God himself. That hole can only be filled by Jesus Christ. That's all. That's it. It doesn't matter what else you seek after, and you can run as hard as you want after those things. The only thing that's ever going to do it is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only thing. And it's when we accept that truth, when we accept that we need Jesus, okay? I mean, we can talk about want and talk about him being our friend, but let's just be honest here for a second. You need him. I need him. Okay? Without him, I am not complete. All right? So I need Jesus. And when we accept that, we start to run into a little problem, okay? Because we like to look at this Jesus giving us himself, God giving Jesus to us. We look at that in the light of the way that we understand things, okay? And we understand things from this earthly place, right? I mean, we understand how deals work here on earth. So in our minds, we think, well, Lord, you gave me Jesus. Now, what can I give you? What can I do for you? What's going to make you happy? And we run into a big problem here because, well, quite frankly, Acts 17, 24 through 25 says this: the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And here's the important part. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. You don't have anything to offer. I mean, guys, you came to this deal with nothing. You came to it nothing. He came with everything. You came with nothing. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's not how we function. It's not how we think. But the grace of God, okay, the grace of God that he showed by sending his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, the grace of God that he shows by having the Holy Spirit indwell you and counsel you and guide you through this hard life, that grace, guess what? It's simply that. It's grace. It is the unmerited favor of God. And it doesn't matter what you do or how hard you work or where you go, you will never earn it, okay? And you never deserved it. It is grace. It is the grace of God and the grace of God alone. That's it. That's it. He gives us himself freely for one reason, and one reason alone. Because he loves you. That's it. That's it. You can't do anything for him. It's all his. It's all he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. I mean, we looked at pictures of this creation. It's all his. But he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to know that he loves you. And the only way he can have that is by giving himself to you. That's the only way. That's how much he loves you. Hebrews 12:2 says this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I know I've told you guys this before, but I got to tell you again. Okay? I'm interested in one particular word here, okay? It says, for the joy set before him. What is that joy? Well, people might say, because he gets to sit beside God the Father now. Well, guess what? He was doing that before. He didn't have to come down to earth to sit beside God the Father. He was in heaven with God the Father for all of eternity prior to that point. That's not the joy. You know what the joy is? The joy is you. For the joy set before you, or before him, he scorned the cross. He scorned its shame. He endured the cross. The joy is you. Is that amazing? You want to talk about self-realization. Realize that you are the joy and the love of God the Father, of the creator of the universe. He loves you. And for you, he did those things freely. Again, you can't pay for it. You will never deserve it. He did it because he loves you. We need to remember that. Returning now to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. The Lord said, speaking to Elijah now, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." All right, here comes that medication. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." He was not in the wind. Now, I know I just got onto a piece of scripture here that many of you guys have heard a lot of times. And you know what? You've probably heard all sorts of different translations and ideas about this scripture. And all I can tell you is this, they're probably all right. All right, so just keep an open ear here. Because as I start to talk about this, there's one word that I'm gonna use to bind together what I think this scripture is telling us today. All right, and that word is this: sovereign. All right, sovereign. The definition of sovereign is one that exercises supreme and permanent authority. Sovereign. All right. One truth about our God is that he is sovereign. All right. He does not share his authority or power with any other God. He is sovereign. He is supreme. The only authority in all of creation. And if we accept that point, then what we also have to accept is that our circumstances are in his control. That our circumstances, what happens to us in life, both good and bad, are in his control. He is sovereign. Either he's sovereign or he's not. My Bible tells me that he is. Okay? I'm going to believe that he is. So therefore, my circumstances in life, both my good and my bad, I'm going to remember and count on that God is in control. God is in control of these circumstances. So I say that. Now listen in here. With that in mind, all right? It says, "A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." All right, the wind is the first of three events that occur before the Lord arrives. Okay, the Lord was not in the wind. Now, here in South Florida, we know a little something about wind, don't we? We know a little something about how destructive wind can be. Wind, which is usually docile and soothing and invisible. And guess what? When it hits up around 80 miles an hour, boy, it's a whole different thing, ain't it? It tears things apart. And this wind here was described as so great and powerful that it actually ripped a mountain apart. And I don't know that I've ever been in that. Okay, I've been in some pretty rough ones, but I don't think I've seen the wind that rips a mountain apart yet. All right, but that's the wind that Elijah just saw. All right, and that's the way that it's described. And let me tell you something, as God draws closer to Elijah this morning, application, as God draws closer to you, guess what? That mighty wind is going to rip apart and destroy whatever shelter and whatever comfort you have in place of God's security, in place of God's provision. God wants you one place. He wants you with Him. He wants you underneath His wings. He wants to protect you and hold you. He knows that He's the only force source in all this universe who can truly protect you. So whatever else it is in life that you've put up to keep yourself safe, guess what? That wind is going to knock it down. That wind is going to take it out. But God's not in the wind. The passage continues, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Now, thankfully, we live on a sandbar. I've never experienced an earthquake, okay? But I have talked to people who have, and they say it's one of the most terrifying things you'll ever be in when the very ground beneath your feet begins to shake and tear apart. I can imagine that would be pretty terrifying, all right? Well, what I think that's showing us today, what I think the application point is this, all right, that we've been discussing how hard life can be, right? We've been talking about that. We've all agreed. Let me call you back here. We've all agreed that life is tough. All right? We've all agreed that sometimes it feels like everything is falling down around us. Sometimes that's how life feels, doesn't it? Well, I heard Adrian Rogers one time say, I don't know if you guys ever listen to Adrian Rogers, but I heard him say this one time. He said, when everything around you is falling down, you better check your foundation. You better check out that foundation, because that might be where your problem is. Friend, let me tell you this today. Christians across this world, there are far too many Christians in this world who live with one foot on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and they live with the other foot on the slippery slopes of the world. And you can't do it. You can't do it. When that earthquake comes, you will be forced to make a decision, one way or the other. Make your decision. If this morning the ground beneath you is already beginning to tremble, let me share with you a piece of scripture that hopefully helps you make the right decision. All right? Psalms 42, 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. Does that sound like anybody else's life? Yeah. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. What's God's choice on which foundation to choose? Choose Jesus Christ. Choose the sure thing. Choose the rock of the ages. The rest of that stuff, you're taking your life in your own hands. Okay? The Bible describes it as a slimy pit, mud and mire. Now, I mean, I'm pretty open-minded, but I just don't feel like taking a vacation there. You know? I'd rather stand on the rock of God. That's the foundation I want. And guess what? When the earthquake comes, whether you like it or not, as God approaches in your life, as He draws near to you, when that earthquake comes, you will be forced to make a decision, one way or the other. Continuing now in verse 12. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now, I don't have to go into great detail. We all understand fire pretty well, right? Fire burns, doesn't it? Fire burns, and it burns hot. Let me be the first to admit something to you this morning. My desire in my heart is to have a pure heart that chases after God. That's my desire. But let me admit something else to you. A lot of times, I got a lot of garbage. A lot of garbage in there. A lot of garbage covering up that pure heart. All right? And what do we call that garbage? Well, I personally call it sin. Okay? It's things that separate me from God. And the only remedy for that problem is God's fire. That's it. God's all-consuming, purifying fire. The bad news is this, that as fire burns, it gets hot, doesn't it? It gets very hot, and it can be very painful as God burns away whatever it is in your life that's between you and Him. Sometimes those are pretty good-looking things. Sometimes you don't want to let go. But as God approaches, as the fire begins to heat up, it will burn away everything. Everything between you and your God. Ultimately, though we don't understand it, that's where we want to be. That's the bad news, is that the fire gets hot. The good news is this, that you're getting close now, okay? The good news is you're getting close. Close to what? Well, concluding our passage, it says, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. The Spirit of God didn't come in the wind, didn't come in the earthquake, didn't come in the fire. It came in a gentle whisper. Now imagine if you're Elijah for just a moment, and just the absolute, paradox isn't the right word, but you know, you've just been exposed to everything. I mean, the loud wind, the crashing earthquake, you know, the searing heat. And then God shows up as a small whisper, as a small whisper. And he still does the same thing today. You know, it says again that he came as a gentle whisper. He came as a word, as a word. Now, that's important. That's important because some people today say, well, God doesn't talk to me. God, you know, I don't know what he wants me to do. We came to Elijah as a gentle whisper, as a word from God. Guys, you've got 2,000 pages here of words from God. You want to know why you're confused today? Why life doesn't make sense? Why you can't understand what you're supposed to do? I will, sure as anything, it's because you're not in here. I will assure you of that. Let me just share with you guys real fast. Okay, this week, I'm going to go into it for a minute. Okay, this week, and topical on this sermon thing was just crazy. I talked to a few people yesterday, and all of them had good advice, but you know, it just wasn't helping. You know, I didn't know what God wanted me to do, and I didn't know why I was so lost. You know, he showed me, when did me and you spend some time together? That's what he said to me. When did me and you spend some time together? I mean, yeah, you did all these other great things. You know, you did the Wednesday night survey, the Wednesday night service. You took care of these people at work. You went and visited these people. That's all good and fine. But when did you spend time with me? You know, we have a jealous God. We have a God that wants you. He wants your attention. He wants your presence. He wants to just spend time with you. So you know what I did last night? I had no idea what I'm going to talk about this morning. I just opened up to the book of Psalms and started reading Psalms. I read through about 30 of them. 30 Psalms. You know how many of them I used today? None. Not a single one. You know, because it wasn't for you. That was for me. That was because God wanted to spend time with me. And he wants to spend the same kind of time with you. He desperately wants to spend time with you. He comes in a gentle whisper. We all agreed again. Let me hold you to it. Life is tough, right? We all agreed. Life can be hard. All right. I don't know this morning where you are in this story. I wish I did, but I don't. I don't know if perhaps this morning that you just need to commit a piece of your time every day to rest. Maybe you are just physically, mentally exhausted. That may very well be where you are today, and you just need to rest. That may not sound like super spiritual advice, but you know what? God showed up with the milk and cookies and tucked them in. All right, so that tells me that God knows I need to rest. All right, you might just need to rest today. Maybe some of you, as we speak, you're experiencing that great and that powerful wind right now, and it's in the process of tearing down everything that you just built up. You might be there right now. All I can tell you is hold on. The good news is you're one step closer. All right? For some of you, as I told you earlier, the ground might be trembling beneath you. For some of you, the ground is shaking even as we speak. And today is the day that you need to decide. You need to make a firm decision that you're going to step off of that slippery slope of the world. That's hard to say. Step off of that, and you're going to choose to stand firmly on the Word of God, on the rock of Jesus Christ. You got to choose your foundation today. For some of you, you're right there right now. And for others, things are getting hot. Things are getting hot. God's fire is turning up. Okay, I don't have to know your particular circumstances to know, as I look out over this congregation, God's fire is heating up. Things are getting serious. Okay? Let me remind you finally, God came to Elijah in a gentle whisper. Okay? And sometimes I worry for my own heart, but I also worry for yours, that in this crazy world we live, with everything going on and everybody wanting to spin something into our ears, in this crazy place we live, sometimes I'm fearful that I'll miss it. I'm fearful that I'll miss that gentle whisper. So this afternoon, or this, as we close today, we're going to do something we're going to handle a little differently. All right, because I am firmly a believer today that God has brought us to this point for a reason. And I think it's because he has something to tell you today. And it may not have been anything I said, and you know what? That's fine. All right, but I think he's going to whisper something to you today. So as you stand with me, we're not going to make a big deal today, okay? I will tell you, I'm here. You have elders here. You have people in this church who love you. If you need to come forward and talk, we'll talk, okay? We'll talk as long as you need. I'll be here, okay? But what I want to do is we're just going to take a couple minutes. And our God deserves so much more than a couple minutes. We're going to take a couple minutes. And I would ask that every heart listen. That whatever it is, wherever it is that you are in that story today, and you know what? We're all someplace in that story, all of us. Okay, wherever you are today, I would just ask that you would listen. Listen intently. Listen deeply. Don't talk. Okay, we get caught up in talking. Don't talk. Listen. And let God whisper to you what it is he wants to tell you today. So we'll take a few moments.